CCI Radio USA. This show is for audiences 18 years or older. Due to adult content, crude and vulgar language, and paranormal topics that most definitely will work its way into your nightmares and leave your funny bone tingling. Bwahahaha! And now, your hosts, Mo Gunnery and Kurt Logsdon.
Ladies and gentlemen, Happy New Year from Kurt and Mo at NLPI Radio US of A. Tonight, we have one hell of an interview with Ghost Ark founder Massimo Rossi and his PR guy, Alessandro Valerani. And I just can't wait to get going on that interview and stuff like that. Those guys straight out of Italy. But before that, let me bring on my fellow host, Moses Gunnery. Hello, Moses. How are you, sir?
Hello. I've just been trying to lose a fight with a Shih Tzu. Such a dog, such a small dog, still manages to get in the feckin' way a lot. I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, but rant over. Another rant to throw on the list of rants by me. Jesus. God help me.
Stop that. How was your holidays, dude?
Full of food. I drank two bottles of Bailey's by accident. It was pure and utter accident. I didn't mean it. It all started with good intentions and ended up with me trying to play Grand Theft Auto and realise my people should never drink and drive at Christmas. It was unique. That's all I'm going to say. It was a unique holiday. I'll call it. How are you?
Yeah, I'm ready to be back, man. Taking a couple weeks off and all that kind of, you know, we got to recharge the batteries and stuff like that. And we're going to come out with New Year. We're going to come out stronger than ever. And tonight is definitely going to be one of the, we're going to show you how it's going to happen. Our guest on tonight, which actually kick ass. But before we get into that, my holiday turned into the usual, you know. First off, we never do gifts and stuff on Christmas. Something always goes wrong. I ended up in the hospital, but that was like right before. And then my sister-in-law, my nephew gets sick, has a fever of 102, 103. Then my brother gets sick. Then my sister-in-law gets sick. And then when finally we ended up back afterward, they left and went home. I got in a huge argument with my parents. Dude, I go, it couldn't have been a better Logsdon Christmas if I planned it. It just was typically dysfunctional, and usually we're not dysfunctional, but this one took the cake, man. And I take full responsibility for the dysfunction. I bring that to the family name. So.
you brought shame upon your family. That's terrible. Well, we had day before Christmas Eve, my son comes down. He's scratching his tummy. My son's five. He's gone to six in March. And he's scratching his tummy. What's up? And he pulls his T-shirt up, and hidden there was some box all over Christmas. It was the most disappointing thing. You know, when it's the day before Christmas Eve, you think, yes, he's going to have such a brilliant little Christmas. Then all these little horrible pimples, and you're like, oh, dude, I feel so bad. Really feel so bad for you. But luckily, you got through the chicken pox. It was like, it's even though we had it, it was still a really good Christmas. Oh, it got better because of the Christmas presents. Because of the Christmas presents Santa Claus brought him, he managed to, it was like, he could have had any infection or any virus or anything. It would have made no difference. None of his presents involved him going out in the street. Oh, said he got roller skates. That involved him going in the street. He'd done that in his pyjamas for about 30 seconds and then went upstairs and completely obliterated an Xbox for the rest of the day. So, I mean, it was perfect for him. The only thing I'm going to ask people, anybody who's got children, right, who in their right fucking mind plays Minecraft? I don't get this, right? When I was a kid, I had Lego, right? We bought Lego.
Yeah.
I put it on the floor.
Lego.
I built a house. Yeah, Lego's phenomenal. Lego is the reason that engineers are on the planet. Minecraft is like, it's like Lego. It's like someone has sucked fun out of Lego and slapped it on a screen. It's like football games. FIFA. There's a football game over here. I don't know if you guys get it, called FIFA.
Yeah, FIFA. We get
Go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, I apologize, since I don't drink, and I was sitting there in the afternoon, I go, you know what, I'll take one for the team, and I'm gonna babysit my nephew. So I go over to the house, you know, where I used to own the house, and then I didn't own the house, and now I'm paying more for an apartment than I was for the house. He's sitting there playing FIFA on his iPad. It's some app out of England, you know. He plays footy, so he's a diehard footy fan. He loves footy. We grew up playing it and ice hockey, so I mean. But, dude, that's all he did. And he wants to show me all these moves he pulled, and he stocked his team. I'm like, dude, you got, like, everybody. And, you know, he's like, yeah, but I got to take on Real Madrid. He goes, Real Madrid, I beat him 1-0 last time. So I'm sitting there staring at an iPad with him playing that. I mean, he plays it out on a team and stuff, but he's obsessed with it. And I'm going, wow, dude, this is okay, cool. I'll just roll with it being the good uncle and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, I'm sitting there.
It gets worse over here, though, because I work with one of the lads I work with. He comes into work mid last year. It was around the summertime. He's a tubby dude. He looks like the Chinese kid out of Up. You know that pro, not the Chinese kid. You know the little fat kid out of Up. He looks like that kid, right? Or the guy who sung Gangnam Style. He's a mixture between those two. If they ever had a kid, it'd come out looking like him. And he come into work and he goes, I can't wait till tonight. I'm going home to have a game of football. And I thought, oh, cool. Oh, it's good weather for it. Who are you playing? In Barcelona. Oh, what? FIFA, Barcelona, and playing line. I was like, do you remember when I was a kid, I got the thing for Christmas, right? It was a spherical ball of air called football. And you could go into a field and kick it. When was the last time you tried that? It's like a computer game seems to be sucking the absolute fun out of everything. I'm turning into old people, you know, I swear. Everybody in the chat room now who's listening, I wouldn't be surprised if he's all disappeared because I'm chatting bollocks about old shit. I'm turning into an old man. Shit. I need to stop it. Let's talk about happier things other than football and Minecraft. Oh, rant over. can I just drop one little interjection just before we start any interviews today? It sounds like I've got a crush on Ghost Ark. When you listen to the interview that we done, it was pretty recorded yesterday. I've got a crush on the Ghost Ark, and it sounds like the first time that Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears back in the 90s, it must have been the same thing. I sound pretty much starry-eyed. It's kind of embarrassing. Nevertheless, roll with it.
Mo's going on a rapey rant. It sounds very rapey to me. That's all I got to say about that. That Ghost Ark better have police protection when it hits the door.
Oh, my God.
UK.
Does it come in pink? I want to know if it's going to come in pink. Little cheeky number. It might work. Oh, God.
It's a bad... You got to admit, though, man. But the thing that... Okay, here's where I'm going to ask you a question. You and I have gone after... We've talked about this many times. Off air, on air, you know, when we chat. The Ghost Box. You are anti-Ghost Box to a T. What changed your mind about this? Is it just the whole system itself? The Ghost Box
This changed my mind. I feel like I've gone from Catholicism to Protestant or Church of England or whatever the fuck we are this week. Now, what changed it for me is I did say it on the interview, and I don't think it'll ruin the interview saying it, but people go out and buy a Ghost Box. They'll go out and buy an SB7 or a PSB7. They'll go out and buy a Shack Hack radio, right? They are radios that have been retrofitted or modified and manipulated to do a task, right?
Okay.
The Ghost Ark is a piece of equipment which has been solely tuned and designed to do a job. It's the same argument people have with someone who goes out and buys a £6,000 car or a $10,000 car and then start throwing modifications on it when they could probably just save enough money by buying a Porsche. Why buy something and retrofit it to do the job? Don't get me wrong, sometimes it looks cool. It just doesn't feel the same as if you had the right piece of machinery in the first place. Why would you use a nail on your finger when you could use a nail and a hammer? You know, it's weird to explain, but it's a piece of equipment which has been made with the sole purpose of doing the job properly, and for me, that's just geek porn in its finest. It's Natalie's, I'm just going to warn you, my wife's probably going to be either sleeping on the couch or I am with regards to this piece of it, because I'm going to fall in love with it. She's got that look. Oh, no, she's actually just looked over at me, sort of
okay,
raised an
eyebrow, okay,
shook her head. Yeah.
As usual, get her up.
As usual,
online,
bring it on,
real
Natalie.
Quick. I got to ask Natalie, come on.
Come on, he's asking you. No, don't say no.
Please.
Come on. Don't say no.
Come on,
Natalie.
Natalie. You can't say no, Natalie. I'm not going to ask
no.
You to
like,
fuck
again. There's 6,000 people here who want to hear you. Come here. Or six. Come here.
Come here.
Come
Kate, on, Natalie.
She's not doing
do it.
Natalie, if you love me, you'd come over here. The dog will come over here. What?
Well,
you've got your dog. No.
Ask Natalie, when you get this piece of gear.
Yes.
The spooning in bed is done with her. You're done spooning with her. You're spooning this new piece of kit. So
I'll give it a go.
Right.
When this piece of equipment gets released, if I get hold of this, is all the spooning in bed on? Who said I slept in bed anyway? Yeah, true, yeah. Well, like gypsies, I sleep in the front seat of the van. It's just the way it is. Oh, shit. Oh, that's my relationship in a nutshell. Do you know what? Oprah Winfrey or Jerry Springer couldn't. Sorry? They're not my kids, aren't they? You could never deny they were my kids. Both crazy as me. I'm absolutely nothing. My son just came down the stairs about 10 minutes before setting up the show. About 10 minutes before setting up, he comes downstairs and goes, Dad, I've got really fat. And he shoved a blanket up his T-shirt. And he's just standing there, like, really proud of himself. Like, I'm a big fat kid. Like, okay, I'm a big fat. I ain't got no T-shirt up me, no blanket up me jumper. I feel sad and slightly embarrassed. But, oh, God. What are we going to do? Anyway, nice to see a big pile of people turning up for the show, by the way. And especially, I'm glad that MC Paranormal, I'm glad you have turned back up again, because you've been, like, I know, in between being on and
we've
off air. Stephen Eldridge with his absolute. Yeah, we've got Andy Henson with his absolute love of geek toys. We've got Stephen Eldridge with his absolute love of anything that bleeds, as he seems to be posting quite a lot on Facebook with regards to carnival folk. I can't say the name of the type of people that my wife's petrified of who attack people. He's got this mad fascination for that. Chris says to say to Kate and Mo, MC Paranormal, which I assume Mary has just put in the chat room, and I'm going to call you out on this, right? You've just put, Chris says to say to Kate and Mo, smiley face, and that doesn't...
We usually get a middle finger, but that's actually pretty good. That's a good sign. Usually we get a middle finger thrown up at us or something like that.
Yeah.
But, dude, that's
also
awesome, man. Go ahead.
It's all right. Also in the chat room, oh, Brenda Castellano's just appeared as well. Thank God. Where's your shoes? Let's not go there. Moses Bailey's turned up, which is a new listener. Hey. Catherine Madder turned up, another new listener. Again, hi. Guest 1621 and guest 1618 have turned up. I guess you two guys are related. It's in the name, I assume. But anyway, hi. Yeah, and you've turned up as well, Kate, which is good news. And Alessandro's turned up as well, and he's hiding in the background with the ghost hat. So.
Yeah, Alessandro's in there. I sent him a link. I hope. I don't know which link he got, but I made sure he got one on. Let me slow down a bit. I'm jacked on caffeine right now. Oh, Steve Eldridge, by the way, dude, stop drinking all the caffeine before you go to bed. I've seen your post on Facebook. Dude, I have the same issue. Quit drinking all the caffeine. That's all I got to say, brother. When you're vaping and you're drinking caffeine, life sucks at 3 a.m., man. Believe me, I understand. But just looking out at you as a friend, brother.
oh, God.
But,
right.
First
things. Sorry, go on.
No, I saw you, bro.
No, I was just going to say, firstly, with the interview, by the looks of it, we're going to get started quite quick on the interview. Me and Kate are going to sit in the chat room, and any questions that we can't answer, I'm assuming Alessandro could obviously, he should be able to give you a hello or at least a bit of answer to anything you do want to ask. Alessandro is really clued up on the piece of equipment, and again, me and Kate, I've scrutinised it from every single angle. And if you haven't seen a picture of it, or if you're listening to this on podcast, for the love of God, just Google what it looks like. It's porn. in electronic tech bits, but just wins at life. It's amazing. I can put it this way, it's converted me. A lot of the pieces of equipment which I've seen in use inside it, or some of its capabilities, in separate units that sit there on the table in the middle of ghosts, the benches or taps or whatever Brian Buell wants to pull out of his sex toy bag. It's just when you look at it, you think on its own, pieces of equipment separately, a lot of them you think are fads. Collectively, the way it's been done, and the way they've managed to manufacture it, it just seems, it's right. Really, it's converted me towards a lot of pieces of equipment which are built into it. So, yeah, that's me, being a pervert towards technology, I guess.
How many charges have been brought up against you and, like, different pieces of paranormal equipment? That's all I want to know, man.
Not as many as you. You've bought ovuluses and ovulus trifield meter, K2 meter, REM pod. You at one point nearly owned as many cameras as me.
Yeah, I got to the point now, dude. After talking to you, basically, you're like my You know, some people have AA. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous. They have their mentors. You're like my mentor with tech gear, and You talk me down off a manic cliff from buying every little single new thing that comes out, and then I bitch and complain to you that I hate it, and then I got to sell it for like $80 less on eBay. Like, for example, yesterday,
go for it.
I sell it's a Bell Howell night vision camera. It's an infrared. You know, it's not top of the line, but, you know, it's good. You know, I mean, they're going for like $250 now, you know. So I sold mine. It's in good shape, works well, and some guy from England bought it, all right? And I'm like, cool. You know, it's about 11 at night. I see somebody bought it, and I'm like, hell yeah, $140 in the pocket or in the bank account to pay a bill or something. One less bill I got to worry about this month. And then I get the next day, this guy goes, man, I bought it for a friend. He already has it. Can I get my money back? And I was like, you fucking prick. And I was like, fuck. And I was pissed. But what it turned out is cool, though. I mean, not cool, because I saw the $140 taken out of my bank account today. I saw it deposited and then returned back to this guy. And then the guy tries to hit me up for fucking customs prices. I laughed my ass off. I was like, bro, that's on your side of the pond. And that's between you and eBay to deal with that. I'm not that fuck. He goes 190 total. So I was like, sounds like I'm dealing with a pikey. And fucking next thing you know, but what the guy did do, which is fairly cool out of being a douche move, he left me positive feedback. So I backed off a little bit. I'm still pissed because now it's going to take me another, 30 days to sell it. So I lowered the price for an auction instead. So if any guys want to, Bell Howell, get on there. And if you say you heard it on the show, I'll hook you guys up with shipping free in the States and stuff like that. Or I'll hook you up with shipping free, actually, international, because you're going to have to pay customs and not. But the ghost box I sold actually went to England because I sell international, and I got some program on eBay now where I send the gear, I send the product to Kentucky, and then they do all the customs work and stuff like that and ship it out. And they charge people overseas. So shipping is dirt cheap. And, you know, and half the stuff I'll ship is probably illegal to ship over there anyway because of copyright laws or patent laws.
Says nothing good about you, that dude.
And I'm saying it on air, but, you know, I don't give a shit. Like, I sold an ovulus over to England. And I told the guy, I shouldn't have said it, but I said it and he still bought it. I go, listen, the ovulus is set. Basically, the vernacular, is vernacular the right word to say? It's vernacular. Phonetic. It's phonetic wording is more American, more modern day American, 21st century American, and stuff like that. So if you take it to a battlefield, not going to say ye old. You're not going to get ye old wench going across it. You know. So I told the guy that to be cool about it, because I didn't want to ship it and then him not want it. You know. I was like, fuck it, I'll sell it to somebody else. And next thing you know, now, Great Britain sending gear over there is on my hit list. So basically,
considering it's got a new American phonetic dictionary built into it, I can just imagine sitting there one day and somebody asking it questions, and it starts going YOLO, swag, and just saying all cool words, you know, like
yeah, it's
proper.
The new one, proper. Yeah, it should. It should pick up. Like you supposedly you can add to it. I guess I've tried it, and
yeah,
of course the software is absolute shit. It takes you forever to download the software, hook it up, put it in, follow the directions. But the Oculus now is, we're on the 4 now, I think? The Oculus 4 or 5, I don't even know. But it's in Spanish,
well,
too. I go, well...
Wow, they got 5 wrong.
Do they got 5 now? Is that what's going on?
I think they've got 5, and they've got all 5 of them wrong, haven't they? Because they're all shit.
Well, yeah, they're all shit. The new ones have Spanish in it. What about all the other languages? I go to Germany with it. So all of a sudden, I'm going to have to say, hey, hola, como esta, me amo Kurt, que pasa, amigo? You know, football. You know, that's basically,
yeah.
Dude.
It's embarrassing.
Go ahead.
Can I do my quick 20 seconds of ripping the ovulus to bits? Please let me do it again.
Please do whatever you want, man.
Thank God for that, right? The phonetic generator built into the ovulus. Bill Chappell was interviewed on Jeff Belanger's show, and on Jeff Belanger's show, he'd done a show called 30 Minutes or More on YouTube, and on the show itself, he said to Bill Chappell, how does it work? And Bill Chappell said, dependent on where... in the milligauss, and the milligauss readout on the ovulus, whatever ovulus it is, depending on where the milligauss reads, if it's at 2.1, what the ovulus does is pick word number 21 out of it. When it does a fluctuation, if it fluctuates above a certain amount of it, milligauss, if it goes from 2.1 straight to 2.3 and it recognizes a high bump, it grabs the 23rd word from a phonetic dictionary. Or 2.03, it'll grab the 203rd word. I don't know exactly how many words up it goes per jump in milligauss, but it is like literally picking a card and reading what the card says. That's how accurate the thing actually apparently is. So there's my rant. I just had to get that up. It's fucking random. It's absolutely random, but nevertheless,
we're
the 1800s can do it.
Basically, ladies and gentlemen, if you're new to the show and you haven't heard us before, we get random on you quick. I mean, we'll be talking about one thing, and then it's like two adults with ADHD going in a million directions and somehow trying to, you know, bring it around into full circle. But we just sometimes leave it blank. We just said, all right, it's just like, I don't know. But, yeah, I say what we do right now, man. I want to thank Massimo Rossi, and especially Alessandro Valerani. And Alessandro, I apologize if I've just butchered your name. I'm American, so, you know, at least give me some retard points on that. I want to thank these guys because in order to get this interview done, Massimo was incredible. Now, Massimo is incredible, period. But I'm just talking about Alessandro. And Alessandro has worked with me. We've chatted a lot beforehand, setting up the logistics for this, because it's not easy when you set up a show, when you're talking to somebody with a 6-hour time difference. I mean, it takes a lot of background work in order for it to come together. And I think you guys are going to enjoy the show because, as Mo said yesterday, Massimo and Alessandro are two suave motherfuckers. That's all I got to say. And I mean that
officially.
I mean that in the best of ways, man. Two suave guys.
Okay. We're going to have to get the interview started in about a minute by the looks of it. But what I will say is before the interview starts, if you're a woman in that room right now and Alessandro starts speaking, you'll understand what I mean. Just that's all I'm going to say. That guy's got one accent that if I was ever to be Italian, I'd want my accent to be like that. Or the crush out. Do you want to throw the interview on?
Yeah, all right. Well, let's. What we're going to do now is let's kick off the interview right now.
Go for it. Tonight we have the absolute pleasure of introducing two gentlemen who, if I am right, could change the direction of the paranormal investigation for a lot of us with the utilisation of a tool which, in a long, long breath for this one, is not only fully capable of recording EVPs from two separate microphones, a fully adjustable ghost box which sweeps AM, FM and even shortwave in incremental steps that you can control with one button, with integrated record, which is a first. It has a recordable white noise feature, another first, an EMF meter with both an on-screen readout and a multicolored light to indicate incremental changes in real time, an ambient temperature reader, with positive and negative 5-degree cold spot detection, again with LED indication, and a superior screen made for use in low-light conditions. To be fair, I just had to say it because I looked at your website, I looked at the way everything was placed, I looked at the fact that this thing looks like it belongs to Batman. I'm sorry, it's the easy way of putting it. It looks too cool.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually stole it.
I don't blame you. I don't think he'd miss it. It's like he's got so many toys to play with. But when you look at some of the things that are out on the market at the moment and some of the meters and the detectors and the sensors, they all look like... They look boring. They look like old calculators. And then you've got this thing that comes along. And do you know what? Trust an Italian dude to make something that looks absolutely amazing. You pull off cars, yeah. You pull off clothes. Now you're pulling off paranormal equipment better than everybody else. It's perfect. It looks better than I could probably explain it on the radio. So I think the first thing we'll do is when this is done and the link's up tomorrow or today for people listening, I'll make sure to pick big picture of this thing slapped right bang in the middle of the page. It's phenomenal. But nevertheless. Go ahead, no. I have to go on a little mad one there, but anyway, we'll introduce you two guys. We've got Massimo Rossi and we've got Alessandro Valerani. Have I got both your names right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank God for that.
I'm pretty much the marketing guy and the translator for this whole discussion. So I might take a bit of a role of
middleman,
filling the gap. But Massimo is actually he's such an interesting person because he has the expertise in ancient items, in manuscripts, in history, and he's been also living by doing that, which is something amazing to me. And the thing is, he got in paranormal when he was young, and from then on, we discussed a lot about fear. He overcome the fear, and what he looks into the paranormal field is all about getting knowledge.
Yes.
And what you said about the ghost art, which I find interesting because it's such a full item. You know, there's so much to say that the coolest thing is that you can just take it in one hand and let it do the work for you. You know.
Yes.
And that's something that Massimo came up with because he used to. You told me you used to go out with the flower on the putting flower on the ground using the Faraday cages with the recorders, all the meters, and you just can't handle that. So we gotta give it full credit to Massimo for getting with this wonderful idea.
Put it this way, I only spotted this. I was browsing YouTube, not YouTube, Facebook, and when you browse Facebook or any of the social media sites, you see things. And they appear and you think, maybe this is a little too good to be true. And when you look at something, you think, this seems a little bit too good to be true. And it really shocks you. I thought, I'll have a look, I'll keep going, I'll have a little read through, found the website, read through the website, read through everything to do with the unit, and thought, oh my God, this is real. This is something which is, it's needed. To be fair, people are playing around with MEL meters and they don't know how to use them. There's too many features. The tri-field meter, too many features. K2 meter. People pin the button down with a penny to make sure that the button's active. And having to retrofit pieces of equipment to match what we do sort of bites us on the backside as paranormal investigators. If you can't use a tool or know what the tool does in the first place, you shouldn't use it. The best part about what you guys have designed here is everything about it. I'm looking at it and I can count on the front of it, what, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 buttons I can see. 11 buttons that control all those pieces of equipment in one go. I'm yet to see a piece of equipment made by anybody which has 11 buttons on it, which does so much off so little amount of buttons. And put it this way, I've came across some absolute idiots in the paranormal. All apologies to anybody who's an idiot on the paranormal, but even you guys will get it right. I mean, Kate, you're going to get it right. No offense. You'll get this right. But it looks, everything about it looks the way I would hope something like this, if it ever came, well, as I said, I'd hope something would come out like this. And do you know what? It's happened. I'm really, for the first time, I'm such a critical person when it comes to new equipment coming out. And I'm normally the first person to say, this doesn't look right. This is just a money-making scheme. This is not right. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, I'm wrong. This is amazing. I could never think this was anything other. So I really have, you've left me quite shocked. To be fair, you guys have done a really good job. And yeah. I'm going to stop trying to marry you now. And I'm going to move on to the first question, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, okay. What was the inspiration for the development of the Ghost Ark? What was the main trigger which caused the development of it?
Yeah, let me ask it to Massimo.
No problem, go for it.
Yeah, sì Massimo, dici un po' cos'è che ha ispirato lo sviluppo del Ghost Ark?
Beh, lo sviluppo del Ghost Ark è nato per un bisogno che come ricercatore avevo, perché avevo solo due mani, o dovevo andare con altri, perché per tenere tutti gli strumenti che mi servivano per fare le mie indagini, non potevo tenerli in mano da solo. Allora ho pensato che uno strumento che potesse almeno contenere quattro strumenti, e dico almeno e sottolineo almeno perché forse saranno anche cinque, era una necessità, è nato da un bisogno che mi è nato proprio facendo le indagini paranormali, da una necessità.
Yeah, this comes out of a necessity, something that's, because Massimo has been doing this for 30 years, and he really felt the need, because he had, he had so many tools to handle in order to do it properly, because as I already stated, he doesn't just look for the proof, you know, for the experience. What he's looking for is for something, you know, something of more substance, something that can be understood, you know, for knowledge. And therefore, the first need that was need to be met was that of crossing the data in real time, so that you could actually see what's going on in the temperature, what's going on in the electromagnetic field at the same time. Am I hearing EVPs? What's going on? So that you could control everything, I mean, keep everything under your attention, whilst being able to be there, not being, in a certain sense, distracted by the items. Well, because you need to focus on where you are, not on having four hands to handle four devices.
Yeah. No, do you know, I don't know if you've ever had the chance to watch a TV show called Ghost Adventures with Zach Bagans and those guys. Absolutely. One of the things that you notice with that show is they'll stand there and they'll have in their hand, they'll have the SB7 spirit box and the speaker strapped to the top of it, or holding the speaker in his hand. At the same time, he's also holding a voice recorder in his other hand, and he's standing there in darkness, and he's pretty much got his hands full of two pieces of equipment. That is something that every single, I'm not just saying just to give you guys, keep giving you credit, but I am yet to see a paranormal investigator on the planet right now who can do all this in one go. I'm not Buddha. I don't have eight arms. I've only got the two arms God gave me, the 10 fingers he gave me to use whatever tools that I've got. And if I've got hold of a camera, I can't hold a camera, grab an EMF meter, make sure temperatures are running right. I can't do it all in one go. So having a piece of equipment like what you've done, I really think you've hit a really, you've landed this at a perfect time. And I mean, again, Massimo's pulled it. He's really, I'd go as far as saying he's thought about it as a more lateral way. He's put his head outside the box and thought, this is maybe how it should be done. So yeah, indeed on that, he's done a really good job. My next question, sorry, go on.
I'm pretty much some sort of a watcher of this whole field, as I just got into it since I'm more of a marketing guy and not a paranormal researcher.
Yeah.
But what I think the first step for this to be scientific is to be able to get all the variables in one place, so that you can try to find some sort of correlation, some
yes.
sort of because Maximus said that he told me that we know there's something about the electromagnetic field. That's something that generally happens, you know.
Yes.
And so by habit, we use the electromagnetic field detectors to start and use them to scout the environment. But the thing is, until you can have some variables that can be measured in terms of variations in time, and so you can get the actual variation and the actual measurement, and then you can correlate that with other values such as the temperature, such as the having actually recorded something. That's something that that to me is the first step toward being scientific, you know, because you can control more than one variable at the same time.
I'll stick to my guns with exactly what I said the first time I mentioned it. It's the fact that you've got everything, all your eggs in one basket. I don't think there's much else you could have thrown into this to make it do more without bursting the sides of it.
I wanted to say that what you said about the EVP, the ghost box,
yes.
and having an external microphone is something that it's been heavily discussed in our team.
Yep.
And therefore, the ghost box and the microphone are going to be acting in a certain way, so that when you are using the ghost box, you are going to record what you are hearing straight from the device without having to put a microphone near it, which is something that can create contamination, can create in and of itself, it can even create electromagnetic field, so another form of contamination. And that's something that it's even that's going to help having a cleaner result in what you find.
Do you know, all I can see with this is I can see something that if not, I don't think you're going to finish as a group. I don't think you guys will finish with just this. I don't think when this comes out, I don't think you're going to just stop and say we've done it. I think by the sounds of, from what I've read about Massimo, from what I've heard, from what you guys have said, you've got so many ideas you've thrown at this to get the... I have to actually feel if this was a Marvel comic, this would be the first suit that Iron Man made. The good suit, and then everything else after the fact. I can just see it adding more and more and more, and I can honestly, genuinely,
he's pulled it out.
But the thing that I've noticed with it is, you've got companies or people in America, for instance, Bill Chappell in America, who designed the Ovulus and the Ovulus X and the Ovulus glasses and the Ovulus cup, whatever he decides to design this week. Guys like him, I think they do it for the wrong reasons. I think Gary Galka, the gentleman who manufactured the Melmeter, he done it for the right reasons to start, but I've got a feeling when Massimo's concerned, he's doing it all for the right reasons and just for the right reasons, because you've got people like releasing the Ovulus, and the Ovulus, there's versions of that, and the X-Cam, there's a piece of equipment at the moment called the X-Cam, which uses a Kinect Center, and they're charging $1,200 for this. Now, I'm not going to mention what the price is in case the price for this unit ups or downs, but from what I understand on the price for this, anybody can afford this. And I'm looking at the quality of the thing, and anybody can put the money to it, and you would never feel robbed. It's just feature-packed. And I think for what you're doing and for the price you're charging, I can only see that you're doing it voluntary. There's no way you could be... really making
this topic, we discussed broadly, because as I got in this project, I was really firm about having at least twice the price.
Yeah.
Because I said you can put whatever price tag you want, and who's interested is going to buy it. As in, you can really put whatever price tag, it doesn't matter, and it's going to sell.
Yes.
Because it's new. It's something. There's no comparison. You know, it's something I had. And the price was something that Massimo really stood behind, because he told me it doesn't matter about the about making the instant profit. It's a matter of getting people that want to understand this field to actually be able to have no excuses. Like,
yeah.
You can do this. Like, everyone can do this. as much as you can buy a cell phone, you can buy a ghost ark.
Oh, God, yeah. And the best part is, where a bag of equipment used to be absolutely jam-packed with stuff, I can see it wouldn't be very hard for somebody to throw this plus a camera in the bag and go for it. And a torch, obviously, but, I mean, it, for what it's doing, it's perfect. Now, I was going to ask you guys what makes it different than other kits on the market, but I don't think there's a point in me asking you that question, because there's nothing on the market which is even close to it. I mean, I can't even think. There's people who build boxes. I've seen them on eBay, and somebody will build a box which will do three or four things, and they've literally just strapped stuff into a box, and it looks really shoddy. Look big, it's ugly. This thing, it doesn't. It looks really, really good. So I'm gonna move on to the next question, if that's okay with you. And the next question is, can you explain the possibilities of detecting temperature cold spots on the device in real time? Can you explain how quick it can detect the temperature, if that's possible, if you guys have tested it in that depth yet?
Okay, so I can't be as specific as I would want, but what I can tell you is that we're going to have an ambient thermometer that is going to capture the value of temperature, and therefore you're going to see the value on the display.
Mm-hmm.
And what will happen is that there will be a program trigger that whenever the temperature has a really rapid variation, you're going to get a light on the device, mm-hmm. which is either red for a hotter variation, so if it gets hotter, or you're going to see a blue LED if the variation is toward the lower temperature. All right, and this is going to be set to three Celsius degrees, which will be approximately 5 Fahrenheit degrees.
Yes, that's Bob on. The best part, as I said, where that's concerned is every temperature sensor that you see at the moment that's out, and I've seen quite a lot of digital ambient temperature sensors in my time investigating, and one of the things that you do come across is it needs a couple of minutes to level out on ambient temperature. Then it'll need, if it spots a temperature drop of positive or negative, it does take its time. But they're units that are built to measure time for a different, measure the temperature for a different purpose. It's not made for paranormal investigating. So, again, I've got a funny feeling with the way Massimo's put his head into this. I can see it being, with an item being fine-tuned towards the paranormal. Again, I'll go back to the Melmeter. That unit's fine-tuned to the paranormal, so that will do its job perfect because its purpose is made, or its purpose is put to it to be a paranormal tool. The same as this, I can assume the, I'm actually confident to assume that it'll do a really good job on the temperature sensing. Also, another question, if it's okay, the correlation of data. How does it correlate it? Does it throw it into a file, or how does it go about
that's
it?
That I'm really excited about because I believe it's awesome. Like, for example, let's say you get the cold spot. You got a cold spot.
Yes.
And you see the blue LED and you see the temperature that has changed.
Mm-hmm.
What will happen is that automatically the ghost ark is going to have its own recording of data throughout time, which are going to be saved so that you can actually look at them after you are done in the location. And it's going to highlight those hot and cold spots, but you're also going to have a file that is going to save the electromagnetic field, and therefore you can see their variation or their correlation in time.
Perfect.
At the same time, because it's really a lot of stuff, at the same time you're going to have also, if you were running an EVP session, you're going to have the EVP recording. But if you were to run a ghost box session, this is something, to me, this is something pretty big, because you're going to have a ghost box that is scanning on three different waves at the same time while recording on the microphone. And therefore, the total output is going to be a data file with the variation of temperature and electromagnetic field in time, while you're going to have three different high-quality WAV, how do you say WAV? WAV.
Yeah, WAV file. You got it right.
Which are, a natural file, not compressed, not modified, for the three for the different bands and one for your own voice that is going to be separated, because it's going to be the Ghostbox sounds are going to be recorded directly through the device without having to interfere with your own microphone.
Yeah, I'm going to say another thing now because it's just dawned upon me. You're recording in WAV, okay? So the recorder that you're using is not going to be a standard voice recording feature built into it. It'll be, I won't go too geeky, but it'll be what's called a PCM recorder. It'll be more of a wider range recorder. PCM recorder on the market now, I can name two of them, which are both dual microphone PCM recorders, which are exactly the same price as your unit. That I've been, well, the price that I've been told. I'm not going to name the names of them until such a time as you guys have released the price, but put it this way, people buy a voice recorder for the same price as they're going to be able to buy this. I think I'm baffled by it. I really am. I know you guys aren't going to be earning money on it. You can't be. For as cheap as you've got it, from what I've been told, you guys, you're a voluntary worker, you've got to be. But I'm properly impressed with it. Another question I do have to ask, and it wasn't a question that it's one that's just, I spotted a little bit earlier and I thought I'd ask. The places where this unit, I was looking on your website and it said about places where it's been tested or places where testing phases have been done, which is Pavilion Island, San Marco Square, and Vecchio Lazaretto, Prison Island.
Yeah.
Right? Have you been there with them?
So I haven't. Massimo did, and he did by himself, which is something ballsy as fuck.
Did he go to Pavilion Island on his own?
Yeah, he did.
That's definitely ballsy as fuck.
My god!
That's fucking cojones.
Just for future reference, if I ever have to have a fight with somebody, can I just take Massimo with me? I'm just going to bring Massimo because
Andate che se si trovano in un arresto hanno chiesto se possono chiamarti.
Beh,
yeah, he's a top guy. He's a really tough guy because he got over all the bullshit. You know, he literally got over the bullshit of fear, and he just goes for the research. He always tells me, yes, you can have the fear. Like, you can have the fear in the moment, but you can't let the fear guide you. You just got to go and remember why you're there. You're there to know. You're not there to be scared. You're there to understand something. You can read his story on our blog about how he asked his friend Tony to take him by boat to Povelia. And he stayed there for 3 hours by himself with the device. And he went around for the island. He went inside of a abandoned hospital. And there's a lot of interesting stuff that happened. And something that's really interesting to me was that Povelia is portrayed as a colony, as a place where a lot of people died. Although, as Massimo stated, historically that's not correct, because the Povelia was a quarantine island for people that could have had a leper, so the plague. And so therefore there's absolutely, people might have died there, but it's not like if you go to, come che si chiama il canale? Il canale dell'Angelo?
Canale dell'Orfano, degli Eretti.
Yeah, if you go to Canale dell'Orfano in Venezia, in Venice, in that place they would drown people. Like the heretic will get drowned. And for example, if Massimo went there and he recorded a lot of people, like you could feel their own drowning. Like it gets really creepy. But what happened in Povelia was that he got a message from an entity which asked him for a piece of pork. come ha detto? Ti te passa un pezzo di cotega?
Ti me da un tocco de cotega.
Yeah, so not only was she a woman, not only was she asking for a piece of pork, but she was stating it in Venetian, you know, in their own dialect.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, not only, as I said, as a piece of equipment that's going to be unparalleled, fact, nothing's going to catch up to it. You're going to get people who are probably going to try and mimic it, but I don't think it's going to be possible. But when you're being able to pull in really credible evidence on it as well, it's adding fuel to it. It must do really good. I mean, one thing I will point out, though, is as good as a piece of equipment like that is going to be, Venice, from what it's portrayed outside of Italy to the rest of the world, is a place which is pretty much water and nothing else. How hard? I mean, I'm looking at San Marco Square, and to me, the picture of San Marco Square, it just looks like water. Is it submerged, San Marco Square?
Yeah, let me ask him, so he's going to explain it really, really thoroughly. Quello che sta dicendo è che Venezia, in termini generici, ispira un sacco il fatto che è inondata praticamente. E lui mi dice, ho visto per dirti la foto di San Marco Square, della piazza San Marco, e dice che è inondata, ma cioè non è vero.
No, è un fenomeno che capita molto spesso in inverno, ma dipende sempre dal vento di Scirocco.
Yeah, it depends on the wind, and it's the wind of Scirocco is called, and it's something that happens that for example San Marco Square gets watered, but it's not something it's temporary. It's not something permanent.
When Massimo investigated the San Marco Square, but did he investigate it when it was submerged, or did he investigate it at a time when it was okay?
Ha chiesto di Piazza San Marco se è andato quando c'era l'acqua o quando non c'era.
Ma l'acqua è un profondo conduttore di elettricità. Venezia è tutta molto elettromagnetica. Il fatto che ci sia l'acqua alta sulla piazza, non ci sono mai andato a fare misure con l'acqua alta. Però con l'acqua che brandiva, che era a livello quasi per diventare acqua alta, ma è una cosa che capita ogni 6 ore a Venezia. Cioè non è che...
6 ore? Ma dura tanto, no?
Dipende sempre dal vento africano dello Scirocco. Perché se d'inverno il vento africano sale su e spinge l'acqua del mare e introduce l'acqua della laguna e si gonfia l'acqua della laguna. Dopodiché... scende, noi sappiamo bene che l'acqua alta dipende molto anche dalla posizione della Luna in quel momento, che muove le alte e basse maree, che sono circa ogni 6 ore. Cioè, in alcuni casi, con il vento di Scirocco, la massa d'acqua si alza e quindi Venezia viene sommersa per circa 5 ore e poi ritorna giù. E poi un'altra volta.
This is really cool. What he said is that based on both the lunar cycles and the wind of Scirocco, the water from the lagoon can be taken inside of the peninsula of Venice, and so for periods of 4 to 6 hours, some parts of Venice can be underwater. But most of the time, the water is not that high that you cannot go there. But it's it can get really high, and it has a 6 hour cycle. What he said is that he went to San Marco both when there was no water and when there was a decent amount of water, when it was almost going to get pretty high, and. And excuse me.
It's okay.
Yeah, he says the water is a great conductor for electricity, and so. Secondo te è una cosa positiva o negativa questa della conduzione dell'acqua?
No, è positiva sotto l'aspetto della ricerca paranormale.
And it's he says it's actually positive to have water as a for paranormal research, because it's a conductor of electricity.
It's common, and I've heard a lot of people mention where paranormal when they're doing any paranormal investigation close to water, that you do seem to pull more. I assume it's put down to the amount of elements that are in the area, because put it this way, to me it makes sense. To me it makes perfect sense. But where Venice is concerned, it's a very, very old place. It's the same as places in Britain. It's a really old place. And I'm not surprised that something like this has came out of an area like that, because there's going to be somebody in the area who's going to put the heart and soul into it, like Massimo actually has. But just give us a second, sorry. Okay. Right, I've got one final question, if it's okay.
Yeah, sure.
Right. How many pieces of equipment will the unit fully replace when it's up for sale, when it's actually out on the market? How many pieces of equipment can it replace in one go?
Quanti pezzi di equipaggiamento ripiazza quando esce questo prodotto?
Allora, ufficialmente 4.
Vuoi dirlo? Aspetta. No.
Sì, 4 strumenti. Però in via del tutto come notizia che non abbiamo ancora rivelato, ci sarà anche il sensore della pressione e dell'umidità.
Ok. So officially it's going to replace 4 devices, but as we're going to reveal in the next weekend, it's going to actually replace 5, because we're going to add atmospheric pressure meter that is going to be inside the device as well.
I told you wouldn't be able to stop, didn't I? This is just going to keep going now. There's just going to be more and more. I just hope. I mean, when it gets released, I can honestly see it's going to have so much behind it, which obviously is going to add nothing but, you know, wind to its wings. It's going to take off really well. I mean, I found this browsing through Facebook, and you know, as I said, you see things and you think, yeah, it probably won't exist, or it probably won't pop out, or blah blah blah. And I looked into it and I thought, wow, that's a bit shocking. I can see that picking up, which, I mean, it works. Now I'm looking on just another thing as well, and this is just a footnote, if you don't mind me asking. On the right hand side of the unit, just below the buttons, there's 2 holes. They look like jack inputs.
Yeah.
Would you know what they are? They mic inputs, or are they going to be headphone inputs, or?
They're going to be. There should be 3 holes in the Ghostark: one for microphone, one for headphones, and a third for a future expansion slot.
See, future expansions. I can see it on its way, but yeah, I mean. Actually, no, you've got the price up on the website.
We want to keep the device really, really fresh, and you know, we want to be it cutting edge and renewable. You know, we might even have firmware updates. You know, that's why we want to have a memory inside of the device, along with the possibility of expanding it, so that if we need to put something inside of it to make it work better, we can do it.
Something modular to attach to the unit. That's perfect. One other thing, I did notice on your blog, stated that you're a... What's up, Kev?
Excuse me? I apologize.
What happens?
Something went flying off my couch.
Yeah. They know we're coming. They know we're coming.
You guys are invading, man. I swear to God. Something's going to fly. I'm sitting back. I'm just sitting here. And all of a sudden, boom, I thought it was my cat, right? I can't see my cat. I have this happen every once in a while. And then I'm like, forget it. I'll explain it away later. But, yeah, I'm sorry, Mo. Go ahead. I apologize about that interruption, guys.
Oh, no, perfect. I was just saying, Alessandro, about you were – last I read on your blog, you were contemplating different ways of getting battery power to the unit. In easier ways. And have you managed to overcome your problem? Or not your problem, but have you managed to overcome that?
Yeah, the question is still up for debate, and that's why we have 4 engineers thinking on different pieces. Because the thing is, I ask the simple question: what if an entity or something takes the energy from the battery and the device gets shut down? Okay?
Yeah.
So you need to absolutely be able to change the battery as fast as possible, okay? So, in my opinion, the most important thing will be to be able to rapidly change the battery. About the specific of the battery, there's no specific detail I can say, but
I understand.
Yeah, we need to make sure that you can swap it out really fast, you know.
Do you know, you've got that much thought into the unit where you've actually thought about entities stripping power from a battery. I know it's definitely something that happens, but I'm really surprised, and I'm pleasantly surprised that you've put that much thought into the unit where you've took it into consideration. From what I can see where the unit's concerned, you've took into consideration that you're going to be working in low light conditions. Okay,
yeah.
You made the lights on the unit.
It's illuminated with high brightness.
Yeah, it's also illuminated blue, because blue doesn't actually destroy night vision, and I can only assume that's the reason you've gone for blue, is because the type of blue that I can see, it's a low luminance blue, it won't dazzle a camera.
Yeah.
So I can see that being perfectly fine. And it's the little attention to the little details that you've managed to take into consideration, the little things seem to be, again, they're just going to,
we gotta give credit to John, which is Massimo's son, which is really attentive to detail, and I'm sure the blue light was his idea.
It's got to have been. I can see on the light. I can see the reason it's on. I can see the reason it's that color blue. I've messed around with night vision in the past, and the different types of light will affect night vision. If you look at a REM pod, when someone's got a REM pod on, they've got a night vision camera on, next minute you just see this glowing blare in the middle of the camera where the REM pod is. It just doesn't make sense to me why they do it, why they're not more courteous towards the camera, because the camera's job is to collect evidence, not to be dazzled by a piece of equipment slap bang in front of it. And again, I'm pleasantly surprised. I think it's amazing. As a piece of equipment, I can't wait until such a time as you say this is getting released. I'll be in the queue, put it that way. Definitely be in the queue, but it's fascinating as a piece of equipment. One other thing I've got to ask you, and this is for you personally, is you, I assume, haven't came from a paranormal background.
Are you asking me or Massimo?
Yeah, no, I'm asking you. I'm asking Alessandro.
You haven't came from
a paranormal background. Oh,
absolutely.
Sorry. So are you fresh to this?
Yeah, I'm really fresh to this.
How do you feel? Do you feel out of your depth with it, or do you feel more? Have you fitted into it?
It's something cool, because as much as I cannot relate to the experiences, somehow there's a part of me that resonates with the concepts behind those experiences. So whole deal of let's have this argument. We can say there's no entities, there's no dead people in the talking radio. It might be our own thoughts, it might be our cat thoughts, it might be an insect, it might be anything. And that's something that intrigues me. It's like studying philosophy. It's not just a matter of necessarily getting to a point, but it's getting to a state in which you feel like it's a puzzle, you know. It fits into the reality, to the point where it's normal. There's no more paranormal.
Yeah, it becomes a part of your life before you know it. If you have the interest, it sort of it grabs you before you grab onto it. One other question: when are you going to Pavalier Island yourself? On your own?
Would I go there?
Yeah, go
maybe,
on.
Maybe when I will be older.
Dude, put it this way, I'd have problems going with my team. I'd have serious issues wanting to go to that place. The way it's portrayed, the way people have spoke about it, I'd have real issues going with the other lads that we go out with. I'd be really questionable on my own, but no. I mean, you've never been on investigation with the guys yourself? Is it something
we did some sessions via Skype in which he had, for example, ghost box, and me and him would talk through the microphone and talk. But yeah, I didn't do no scouting, no research.
It, It's a bit of, you've touched lucky. It's a bit of a leap of faith when you first do it. If you've ever decided to go out, it is a bit of a leap of faith to get involved in it, because you've got to realise that you're going to be in a place total darkness. It's not very good for people. But, I'll stick to my guns on what I said. I cannot wait for this to be released. It says it's getting released on summer 2015. Is that still accurate?
It's the estimated time is going to be summer 2015. What I wanted to say on what you said before is that when you begin, in my opinion, it's more about dealing with yourself. It's like dealing with fear, dealing with doubts, proving to yourself. And once you get to Massimo's level, it's no more about yourself, because you are done with the stuff. You're not getting impressed by stuff.
Yeah.
You really want to be impressed by knowledge. So, I guess there's two stages. Like, there's the overcoming the fear, and then it becomes the craving for knowledge.
Yeah, it becomes a pursuit. It becomes, from what I can tell about Massimo as an individual, the gentleman's historical collect documents. There's something about him where he just, by the sounds of it, wants to just, he needs to know. And how he goes about knowing, obviously the ghost art's going to help him with that, no doubt about that, but he needs to know history, he needs to know the paranormal. And I do think he's got a bit of a unique mind. I think the way he's thought this, and the way he thinks the investigations that he does out, he's got a really unique mind. I think he's a lucky guy to be close to him. And I think, to be fair, I wouldn't be very surprised if 6, 12 or 18 months down the line you're sitting on Pavalia Island on your own yourself. I wouldn't be too surprised at all. Actually, yeah. No. Maybe you might avoid that one. I don't know.
Maybe we can go together.
I'll go. I'll bring food. Kate will bring a torch.
I wanted to share a story about Massimo. Quando hai fatto la cosa col medium, era Roll, quello che pitturava, era proprio lui?
Sì.
Basically, what he did...
Non facciamo casino. Io quello che ho visto che pitturava era un altro medium inglese che si chiama Matthew Manning.
Ok.
E io siccome era bendato e disegnava con tutte e due le mani, io senza e prendevo i colori giusti, io sono andato senza farmi vedere a cambiare una sezione dei colori per vedere che non ci fossero dei trucchi. E lui, benché bendato, anche se io avevo cambiato l'ordine dei colori che lui aveva messo da una parte a destra e da una parte a sinistra, lui andava a prendersi i giusti colori, anche se io avevo cambiato l'ordine dei colori, senza che nessuno se ne accorgesse. Poi.
So, Massimo went to this show with Matthew Manning, which is a medium, and what Matthew did was that he would blind himself, get himself blindfolded, and he would start painting, and he will paint. Ma pitturava quadri degli artisti.
Renoir.
Yeah, he would paint Monet, Renoir paintings without even watching the painting, And so Massimo was really skeptic. But the thing that surprised me was that he actually got off his own seat, he went on the stage, and he changed the colors of this guy. And what happened was that because he was curious, he took the embarrassment of getting up on a stage and changing the colors of this performer. And what happened was that Matthew actually did the painting right without even realizing that the colors were in different positions. So that's that's how far he will go, really deep.
No, the paranormal needs people like that. We have enough, and sorry for the analogy, but we have enough sheep on the planet. We have enough people who follow a flock. we have enough people who watch Ghost Adventures and become a demonologist tomorrow. We have enough of those people. We need people who are prepared to stand there. And I'm not trying to say we should create this big paranormal army. What I'm saying is we need people who are going to sit there and look for what's going on, as opposed to treating it like the newest phase or the newest fad or the newest good thing to do. We need people who are prepared to do what Massimo's doing, where they go out on not. I'm. Do you know what, guys? Please don't think anything from this, but I would never suggest to anybody go out on your own, especially if you're starting out. If you're long into it, if you've been at it for a long time, give it a go. If you do go out, obviously you're on your own. It's your own risk. You're stuck by yourself. I'm not saying what Massimo does is wrong. I do it myself. I've done it myself. I'm just saying that new guys, please, for the love of God, don't go to a big haunted house and start climbing on the roof. You're going to fall off. But at least he does it, and he does it with the pursuit of knowledge and not the pursuit of fame. Everyone wants fame from this. Nobody, most people are not in it for the right reasons at first, and obviously it changes. And where Massimo's concerned, he's been pure by the sound of it. He's been pure from start to finish. I mean, me and Kate were obviously with it for the fame and nothing else. Of
yeah.
Well, yeah, what can I say? No, I mean, I applaud the way he does it, and I applaud the way that your entire team have gone about this. You've looked at it from a scientific standpoint, and science and the paranormal are not friends. They never have been. Engineering standpoint, he's doing a brilliant job. Now, the fact that you've got all you guys together to sort this out, you've done really, really well. So again, I'm just going to applaud you on it. And I have got, again, a huge crush on this piece of equipment. It's amazing. It's on my Christmas list, put it that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, from an outsider perspective, I actually believe that paranormal and science will walk hand in hand one day. I can't say when, but I do believe it will happen.
It'll come from Europe before it comes from the United States. I'll tell you that right now. That's where it's going to start at. It's not going to start in North America.
I hate to agree with you, but you're right.
The new European paranormal renaissance.
Maybe so. I mean, the only thing that comes from America is fast food. No offense, Kate.
Hey,
nothing else could come.
Hey, done taken, man. I eat it all the time, so.
Oh, God. Right, Kate, well, I think we're coming to the end, aren't
we?
Yeah,
we're going to get ready to close down. Massimo, many thanks. How do you say thank you in Italian, Alessandro?
Grazie.
Grazie.
Grazie. Hey, Massimo, grazie.
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 Grazie mille.
Grazie. Is it grazie or grazia?
Grazie.
Okay,
I'm with Kate. I'm not gonna try and do it. I'm gonna say thank you because I'll only spit on my microphone. I don't want to insult your language because I like it. So I'm gonna be polite and say thank you very much, guys.
Yeah.
Alessandro, it's been awesome. Amazing talking to you, Alessandro. And again, I cannot wait for this to come out. And the second that it does, I'm gonna log myself up for the email to let me know when it's been released. And the second it's been released, I'm definitely gonna post it on my site. I'm going to post it on the show site so that people know it's out, because I do think it's going to be very quick coming, and I do think in the same breath it's going to be groundbreaking. So good luck, and I'm waiting for it. Hurry up. Get it built quicker.
Thank you very much for having you guys.
No.
Ciao.
Perfect. Ciao.
Ciao, Massimo.
Ciao. Thank
you.
Ciao.
All right, we're back on live right now. Dude, that was one epic interview, I got to say.
Something let it down for me. I heard my own voice. That's it. Something let it down for me. I heard my own voice. That was poor. The fact that I hate listening to myself speak.
I do, too. I'm the same way. It's just kind of... it's basically... it's weird. You know, it's weird when you hear your own voice, because I sounded like how bad my headphones, my microphone were, how distant I sounded, but you guys sounded like very close and everything else. But, I mean, this piece of equipment, I think, man, it's definitely going to take, once it hit the shores of, you know, it's going to make its way through Europe, and then it's going to hit the States, it's going to take off. I mean, I can see that.
I'm the only concern I've got is people like Bill Apple.
He's going to copy.
He's going to try and do his own variation of it. And you know what? If he does, I'm going to find him. I'm going to slap his little 85-year-old face because I think it's not right. What they've done should be kept to them. You know, there's no point in trying to replicate it. I can guarantee you now, a load of people will look at it and think, well, we can do something like that. Do you know what? I don't think it's going to be possible to replicate it. If you've seen pictures of it, it looks like Tron. It looks amazing. But
it does.
I mean,
it's a definite great piece of kit.
I just have to say one thing for people who did listen to the interview then. It does sound like I've got a man crush on it. I'm just going to bear in mind with this, guys, I have a man crush on the piece of equipment, not on Alessandro and Massimo. They're nice guys, but the piece of equipment's amazing, and I'm mad. But it was a pleasure to talk to them two guys, especially considering, as Alessandro says, he's only relatively new to it, and he's marketing, he's PR basically, he's fresh to the paranormal field. And everything we asked him, if he didn't know the answer to it, if he didn't know the right way to word it, he went back to Massimo and asked Massimo. Massimo then, in turn, then told him the methodology and usage behind it, which is perfect. I mean, the attention the guys have put to it is perfect. And another thing that was answered in the chat room not a couple of minutes before the end of the show is the meters to stop. MC Paranormal asked about bleed through on the EMF meter, and he said everything's going to be healed inside the unit from what next to it. And again, mobile phone shields in the same way, very simple, and it works perfect. It's the reason you get a constant mobile phone. They're just brilliant. They've done it right. That's all I keep saying. I'm going to keep saying it. They've done it right. I can't wait till it comes out as far. And I've got no massive qualms towards the guys in America and the guys who decide they want to build their own equipment. But the ones who build it for the wrong reasons, the ones who build for monetary gain and nothing else, not for the pursuit of an answer, the ones who build it just for financial gain. This is one massive black, illuminated sound recording. Fuck you. And then, you know what, right? I'd wear it like a fucking badge if I was those guys. And yeah, Andy Henry. But I'd have a man crush on whoever it helps me to get one. You whore. Andy, you absolute whore.
Oh, that's a tart. Andy's a tart. I swear to God. He's working it in there just like a tart. I'm glad it's not the 1890s in what part of London and Jack the Ripper's not running around. He'd be first.
Whitechapel.
Whitechapel. He'd be prostitute number two.
Yeah. Andy Henson would make a really pretty girl, though. I'm going to say he would make a pretty girl. He'd be like watching, I don't know, like looking at Cher.
I just hope he doesn't end up in jail. That's all I got to say. I hope Andy stays out of prison. I swear to God.
you'd get used. For everybody else who's listening, the Ghost Art, when it does get released, the best way to find out is just to go to www.ghostark.com. Ghost is in Casper. Ghost is in what you're listening to this show for. Ark as in thing we used to fill the animals 2x2 with, ghostark.com. And get have a little look at it. Do you know what I can tell you is it looks suave. I can tell you it looks cool. I can tell everybody my personal opinions on it. It will make no difference. You need to look at this yourselves. So get over to ghostark.com, have a look at it, slap bang on the front of the first page. And I guarantee you when you see it, you're going to go, oh, right, now I understand why he said it's so simple. It just looks brilliant. I can't wait till it appears, and I can't wait till Bill Chappell has a heart attack when he sees it.
Oh, Bill Chappell, dude. I'm sure he's got wind of it.
Yeah.
Or what's going to happen is Zach Bagans going to jump on it. It's going to be something like that. Like Bagans is going to want to hit him up. For
it's
going to
be
Fear
Way by Bill Chappell's going to have a fear where he's probably going to wet himself when he's. But I'm just glad that the right people have came. I'm glad the right people have actually decided to be the to build it. And it hasn't.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, somebody who hasn't just grabbed the money. People who are doing it properly. And as I said to in the middle of the interview. I don't understand how these guys are going to be able to make a profit from this because they're selling it so cheap. It's full of so much. You can buy a tri-field meter for roughly the same price.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah, it surprises me.
Yeah, it looks, and plus the way it's built, it's compact enough and small enough where you can run all these different options at once. It's not like, you know, I'm running my tri-field meter and at the same time I'm trying to do an EVP. I'm only doing two things when I really want to get a video camera going or something like that, you know, with night vision or something. You can't.
Yeah.
But this thing, man, is the full package. I mean, I can't tell you more than that. After talking to these guys, talking to Massimo and Alessandro,
yeah,
prior to the show, prior to the interview, I got more, you know, more information also about it. Dude, I got to get a hold of one. I'm definitely going to get a hold of one, man.
You're not on your own, but I do have to say one thing with regards to the piece of equipment. Stephen Eldridge just put he's expected to be super fragile and he is extremely clumsy. Now bear in mind, Stephen, right? You may be extremely clumsy. It may turn out to be super fragile, but if it's the only thing in your hand, how many times do you drop a mobile phone? I mean, most people will catch it before it hits the floor. It's the way we are instinctively, with something which means more to you than just a sack of spuds. You drop it, you catch it, or, you know, if there's only one thing in the hand and you do drop it, one thing in your hand, then for the love of God, it makes you.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, too, you made a good point about the phone. It's not bulky looking. It's very, when you see it and you look at it, it's really not this giant bulky piece of equipment that you're going to be walking around with, you know, with both hands spread wide. I mean, it's compact enough where, you know, you're going to be getting all this information, you know, or feedback coming in or whatever you have it
yeah.
set at basically it's close to it once. I mean, it's real time everything. I mean, the only thing real time that really you can get is basically you get a Zoom mic or a task cam, and if you do an EVP session with the headphones, you might be able to catch real time there, and that's basically close to about it, you know? I mean,
yeah, it is the closest you're going to get. Now, just one more thing before we digress onto something else, which is just up in the chat room, and this is just giving an idea of how it actually stands as a piece of equipment. Shoot every single piece of equipment down I think is bullshit, and I'll tell you that's bullshit. I'll tell you the Obulus is bullshit. I'll tell that using, as Kurt has also pointed out in the past, using a torch to try and communicate is bullshit. I'll tell you that say EVPs are bullshit. I am the first person to tell you that using a camera phone to catch a photo, to catch an image or something, is going to be bullshit, guaranteed. I can't say it about this. I'm not even endorsed by them. I just think I've got a huge man crush on this piece of equipment. I can't wait for. I do have to do a little digression into the chat room, though, with regards to Zach Bagans. Where is it? Brenda Castellano just jumped in the chat room and put out. Zach Bagans is just a he's possessed his little demonic house. You know, the house he bought, apparently he's possessed.
Oh, yeah. And Nick Groff.
Okay.
When Nick Groff quit. No. It was too evil for people to be in there. That's what it was. He said it's too demonic for anybody to film in there. He's a fucktard. I'm sorry. He's a fucktard in the highest degree.
The best part is police who investigated one of the accounts that happened there were taking the piss themselves, were they? They were messing around.
Yeah.
So much faith they had in the unit, but it's fucking
the cops were
the chief of police were taking ghost app images.
Yeah, he was taking the piss out of them. You know, out of the whole thing. He was having fun with it, joking around. They were adding ghost, you know, those apps to the pics. And I don't know. I just think that house, I think it's basically what happened is, I think he had an idea that it's going to be a kick-ass idea, come out with a documentary of this house. But I think there's more and more bullshit going on because the people that owned it before he bought it said absolutely nothing went on. They said nothing.
Yeah.
They said nothing happened in this house.
I think,
where we live
my
there.
Opinion, I think he fucked up. I think he bought
it.
I think he's fucked up. Like he needs to sell it, and the only way he's going to be able to sell it and get his money back on it is to say, this house is too scary for me. And everyone's like, well, I can buy it. I know I can deal with it because I'm a badass, and someone's going to buy it on that premise and nothing else. So good luck to that dude in the house. It's going to be an absolute fucking steal. And well, it's going to be really scary and blah, 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 blah. No, it's not. Bullshit.
But, there's nothing scary. I like it. It's bullshit. No, I agree. It's bullshit.
Andy Henton's answer was the best. Everyone's putting in the chat room, seriously? Yes. Oh, my God. Stephen Eldridge put, of course, he's possessed. What's new? And Andy Henton just sneaks in at the bottom with, yeah, self-possessed. Oh, my God.
That's funny as hell.
You will bunch of misfits. That's perfect.
our chat room is like the land of misfit toys, dude.
I absolutely love it. I could ask for nothing better than you guys on the radio when I'm on. You know, it's funny as hell. It just makes it work. It's great.
Oh, it makes it so much fun. It makes it so much more fun. we want to claim the most dysfunctional chat room at Blog Talk or any other paranormal show has to offer. I'm not calling you guys out as dysfunctional, but together the chemistry.
Is it all dysfunctional? Okay, Moe is. Everyone's dysfunctional. It's all dysfunctional.
Yeah, including Moe and myself. We tend to be dysfunctional too all the time. But
you wouldn't be listening to the show if you weren't as dysfunctional, as broken as us. I think it's perfect. It's like that weird family that everyone just sort of, you know. It's perfect. But yeah.
The weird family.
That's a little tiny shih tzu barking at the telly. Shh.
All right, well, we got to say goodbye and goodnight to everyone. We just got the heads up from the English Blog Talk lady that has told us how much time. But I want to thank... I want to thank everyone in with us tonight. That was one hell of an interview. Check out www.ghostark.com. You will like the product. And if not, that's your problem. But I sure as hell do. Yeah, and that's my final goodbye. And you, Mo?
Good night, guys. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much to Massimo. And thank you very much to Alessandro for coming on yesterday and for also coming on today. And I'm going to say really good thank you, a really big thank you to Massimo, because you don't even speak English in your show, though. And I think that's cool. Just to show us support for your equipment. So thank you very much, guys. And thanks to everybody in the chat room. Nice to see you all again. Enjoy. Catch you next week.
All right. Catch you next week.
Bye, guys. Bye-bye.